Are you looking for information to help your indoor environment be the safest space available for you and your family? If you are, then you've come to the right place. My name is Mike McNatt, and this is the Indoor Environmental Safe Space Podcast. So let's talk about why mold is growing in your home. It's a question I often get from clients, and I'm going to boil it down to its basic principles, and in other podcasts, we'll get into a lot more details about what conditions can cause mold, especially as it relates to HVAC systems, heating, air conditioning, ventilation systems, and some other problematic areas like crawl spaces and why those can be problematic and what we can do about it. But for now, I want to talk about just the basic principles of what causes mold to grow in an indoor environment. Let's talk about the five things that mold needs in order to grow and survive. The first thing mold needs, just like all living things, it needs food. As we've discussed on a previous podcast, mold's purpose in our natural ecology is to eat organic cellulose-based material to break it down into its basic nutrients, to turn it back into soil so that new plants can grow. Its goal is to tear down plant matter. In the South Central United States, we build homes out of plant matter. So we're building homes out of wood, drywall, which is coated with a paper backing, out of manufactured wood products. There is wood and paper everywhere in a home. Trying to eliminate the food source for mold means you're going to have a home made out of steel, plastic, metal, and glass, and nothing else. You're not going to have any paper, no paper towels, no toilet paper. That might be problematic. No cardboard, no manufactured wood. It's virtually impossible to remove all the food sources for mold out of a home because they're so prevalent in the things that we live with and the possessions we have. So we have to kind of cross that one off the list of things we control that mold needs. The second thing mold needs is oxygen. Now, there are some species of mold that can live with very, very low levels of oxygen. I have not yet read about a species of mold that is truly anaerobic. However, some of them can live very, very close to that anaerobic state where they don't need oxygen at all. They need very, very little oxygen. But most of the molds we find in the indoor environment need a relatively good oxygen saturation, just like we need. And we can't get rid of the oxygen because we need it. We breathe it, and without oxygen, every living thing in the home dies, including the mold. So we have to cross oxygen off the list. We can't get rid of that. Mold needs the proper temperature. And again, there are species of mold that can live in very extreme temperatures. However, most of the problematic molds we find living in the indoor environment, living in your home, is mold that likes the same temperature you do. It likes it anywhere from 65 to 85 degrees, maybe a little warmer, maybe a little cooler, but it can survive and thrive at the same temperatures you can. So the thought of freezing the mold out or baking the mold out, well, if you try to, you're going to freeze or bake yourself out, and the whole process is going to fail anyway for a number of reasons. So we can't really control the temperature. It's the same temperature we like. Okay, well, we're down to the last two things that mold needs to grow in your indoor environment. Number four is a viable mold spore. Now, like we've discussed in a previous podcast, mold is part of the natural ecology. It's everywhere in nature. It's in every home. And that means we're never going to get rid of all the viable mold spores. We just have to accept the fact that in the war between us and Mother Nature, well, personally, my money's on Mother Nature. She's going to win, but we can work with Mother Nature, work within her rules, and keep mold at a healthy level and be just fine. So that's really what the goal is. So the idea of getting rid of all mold or all viable mold spores, probably get rid of that idea because it's virtually impossible. And if it were possible, it would be so prohibitively expensive. It's just not an option. So the last thing that mold needs, and it's the one thing we have the most control over, and that's water. Now, we need water, and mold needs water. So how do we keep mold from getting water if we need water? And that is to keep water where it belongs. Keep in mind, let's take the concept of water out of the picture. Water connotates liquid. Moisture, however, comes in two different forms. Moisture comes in the form of moisture vapor or humidity, and then there is liquid moisture, which we typically refer to as water. So the places mold likes to grow are places with excess humidity, and by excess humidity, we're talking levels of 70% relative humidity elevated at that level for a couple of days or more. Typically, you know, different species grow at different rates, and so I talk a lot in generalities, but in general, you can just consider mold taking 24 hours to germinate, 48 hours to reproduce, and then 72 hours to really have reproduced enough to form a colony that might start to become visible. In the water restoration industry, we normally consider a water damage as needing to be dried within 3 days, five at most, to prevent mold growth. Getting a structure dry within 3 days is really important in water damage because mold growth can start to colonize and cause an environmental problem after 3 days of wet materials. So where does the moisture come from? It's high humid areas that are humid above 70%. Usually for the indoor environment, you know, the optimal range of humidity is 40%. That is the range that's been proven by studies to be the most comfortable for individuals. Really, 35 to 45% is kind of the ideal range, with 40% being right there in the middle. Sometimes that's hard to achieve here in Texas without supplemental dehumidification. Your HVAC system is your primary method of dehumidifying a home, and in the fall and springtime, sometimes here in Texas, it can be really humid, and the air conditioner is just not going to run, which isn't going to pull moisture out of the home, so we can see some elevated humidities. But areas where water is used, in the kitchen and in bathrooms and in laundry rooms, those are areas that's using liquid moisture for a purpose to serve us as humans, and some of that moisture evaporates into moisture vapor, which is humidity, and we've got to have a way to get that humidity out of the house. Typically, ventilation fans are the process by which we do that in laundry rooms and bathrooms. So make sure you've got good functioning ventilation fans. Make sure they're used. If it's hard to get into the habit of using them, there are humidistat controlled fans out there that if the humidity gets above a certain level, they'll kick on automatically. Those are a great solution to help control humidity in a home. But ideally, you want your indoor humidity to be around 40 to 45%. If it gets up in the range of 50 to 60, we kind of consider that the yellow zone because humidity does fluctuate. And a lot of people will tell you humidity above 60% is kind of the red zone. Again, because humidity will fluctuate up and down. If your relative humidity is 60% most of the time, then it's going to fluctuate up to 68 to 70%, which again could create a problem for microbial growth. There's a number of reasons to keep our humidity lower. You'll get an increase in dust mite populations at higher humidities, and they can cause dermatological problems and other allergenic responses. So for optimal indoor health, relative humidity of 40% is perfect. But also plumbing leaks. You know, there's a number of times that people say, hey, I think I have a mold problem, and we go to their home and find out they've had an ongoing leak problem in a pipe that maybe they even knew about, and they were just thinking, well, I'll get that taken care of someday. The key is take care of moisture problems immediately. Failure to do that is just going to be asking for problems when it comes to indoor environmental health and molds that thrive on that excess moisture inside a living environment. Crawl spaces are another issue. When we have leaks in a crawl space, not many people hang out in their crawl spaces or even check their crawl spaces regularly, and for good reason, but leaks can happen in a crawl space and can go on leaking for days, weeks, and even months without being detected because the crawl space is not an area we access often. That's another reason why crawl spaces can become problematic, not just from liquid moisture from leaks, but also due to humidity. Controlling moisture, though, is the way we control mold growth. If we can keep our relative humidity at 40 to 45% within the indoor environment, and we can correct any water leakages, any spills, any water damage issues, outside water intrusions, if we can address those quickly, you will not have a mold problem inside the indoor environment. And that's just a fact. Mold has to have moisture. Without the moisture, the mold can't grow. So out of all the five elements that mold needs to grow, which are food, oxygen, temperature, a viable mold spore, and water. Water is the only item out of those that we control without making an indoor space unlivable for us. So it's critically important. Get on top of water issues. There are some new water monitoring solutions out there available that you can actually tie into your plumbing that will let you know if you have a water leak anywhere in the home, and it'll alert you. There are also water sensors that you can put in areas that are prone to leaking, like around hot water heaters, air conditioners, plumbing areas, etc. Any of these items will get you closer to being in a better situation where you can get on top of water issues quickly. Of course, a water monitoring solution is ideal, but it's the most expensive. Water detectors, those are kind of a next best solution. They're relatively affordable, but most people don't implement them. So make sure and take care of your home as it pertains to water damage and humidity. And crawl spaces are another challenge when it comes to humidity. Between 8 and 12 gallons of water can permeate just through the soil per every 1,000 square foot of exposed crawl space dirt. So even if your crawl space is perfectly healthy with decent ventilation, you could still develop a humidity issue in a crawl space that could lead to microbial growth. And we'll talk about why the air quality underneath your home is as important, is really very important to the indoor air quality of a home in another podcast. But that's it on why mold can grow in the indoor environment. If those five things exist, we build homes out of mold food, can't get rid of that. We live in the same temperature. We need oxygen. Viable mold spores are everywhere. So take care of water problems quickly and manage your humidity in your home. And that will keep you from having microbial growth issues. So thanks for listening, and be happy, healthy, and safe in your indoor environment. Well, that concludes our podcast for today. If you found the information helpful, please support our podcast by selecting like below. And to stay informed as new episodes are posted, be sure and select subscribe below. If you have any questions or comments, be sure and post them below, or feel free to email us at info@iesafespace.com. Thanks for listening in. I'm Mike McNatt, and this is the Indoor Environmental Safe Space Podcast.